love Might Delete Later.
I bloody hope you do. You can support our show by using the new Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment.
Just smash that link in the show description and support us now so we can keep making this podcast.
Thank you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, buongiorno, and welcome to Might Delete Later, the Italian edition, it's not, with me, Stevie Martin, who wants to kick social media right in the crotch.
And me, Gina Martin, who likes it and would like to offer it some ice and a calm, warm place to recover.
Oh, that's very nice.
Thank you very much. But to our guest for today, she's an activist, an author, she founded Nail Transphobia, she recently made it onto the Independence Rainbow List, was called The Voice of a Community by Vogue, and is one of the most influential and inspirational LGBT people in the UK, called that actually by The Independent and The Guardian. It is Charlie Craggs.
Charlie Craggs. Also, we found out she's filming a documentary right now that's about to be on BBC Three, coming out in around November. So this is like... there's a lot going on.
There really is. We had a lovely chat.
We chatted about all kinds of things. We chatted about... what I found very interesting was the post that she talked about regretting was something very, very cool that she did on Five Live. But it was about, obviously, she's going through different stages of her transition. So looking back on herself years ago when she wasn't as far along as she is now, it's very interesting to hear somebody talk about that. And also, I think, as well, we talked a lot about just like being yourself on social media, how to balance like... you know, serious stuff with funny stuff, because she's really funny on Instagram, I have to say. She makes me laugh a lot.
Yeah, like allowing yourself that joy, especially when you're doing something that's about serious stuff a lot. I think that's a really important thing that I probably need to take heed of more a little bit as well. But before we get into the episode, Stevie, what's in your drafts this week?
Okay, in my drafts are... now, it is social media because it's Depop, which is basically social media, isn't it?
Sure.
Depop is, for anyone, it's like set up like Instagram, but you sell and buy secondhand clothes. And I got a message. I wanted to buy some AirPods, but they're too expensive. They're like 200 quid or something. So I went on Depop and someone was like, please message before you buy. So I was like, can I please buy them? They're 40 quid. I was like, can I please buy them? And they were like, yeah, you can buy them, but can you pop them through on PayPal friends and family, which basically means that you don't have any buyer protection and you can't get a refund, because I'm popping to the post office now, and then when I do really need the money like immediately. And I was like, okay, and then did it, and then
I was like, what?
Maybe they need the money. And then got a message like, you know, later on being like, my account got hacked, so I hope you didn't give any money to the hacker. But I'm sure you didn't, because that's obviously the most obvious hack ever. And I was like, I did. And then I had to email Depop, and they were like, yeah, I mean, no, you can't get the money back, because it specifically says you have to do it through PayPal, not friends and family. And never, I was like, of course. And also, why did they need the money now?
But
I was
so you actually lost that money now?
Yes.
Oh!
Literally, so I was like, can I have some money, please? Can you send it with no protection, which means that you can't get a refund? And I said yes, because I was
yes, please.
It's less I'd like to delete me giving people money.
I'd like to delete me getting scammed because I'm such an empath.
What's in your draft this week?
Yeah, in my draft is that I really want to watch the documentary The Social Dilemma. Okay, so apparently it's an eye-opening look into the way social media is designed to create addiction and manipulate our behaviour, told by some of the very most amazing people and systems at places like Facebook, Google and Twitter.
Just watch it.
All right, well, yeah.
That sounds great. Solid.
I just find myself really wanting to watch these things, but then at the same time, there's a huge tension, because it's like, I know you're going to tell me everything I'm doing is bad for myself and everyone else, but yes. I want to be schooled, because I want to be on top of it, but at the same time, it's like just custom designed to make me feel stupid about what I'm doing online. But I will watch it, and then I'll get back to everyone and tell them how good it was. Go to @MikeDeleteLaterPod so you can see all the posts we discussed with Charlie today. They're on our Instagram in a new fancy format. And there's going to be some more little extras on there. Who knows? Ooh.
Just enjoy the episode as well. It's a really fun episode. I thought it was really fun, interesting, very moving as well. And basically covers the entire gamut of what Charlie is like as a person. Very, very funny, very, very smart, very, very, very activist.
Very, very activist. Enjoy. Okay, so every week we decide something we'd like to delete. What I'd like to delete this week is VIBs, which are, you know, like McVitie's chocolate digestive biscuits.
I saw your story.
So basically they've leveled up and made the best biscuit ever made imaginable. The end line is like hard to describe. And me and my housemate had a packet of them yesterday and they taste like dusty discs of hell.
Yeah, but you still ate the packet. Shit. You're like, we had a whole packet and they tasted shit. You're like, I know. We still ate them.
I know. I'm just disappointed with that. Yes. And then Stevie, what would you delete this week?
I'd like to delete, you know, the bit where you're at the park and you're having some drinks, and you're having some laughs, and then you realise like you can't, like about, well, it varies depending on, I suppose, age, but like after an hour, I can't sit, like I can't get the right sitting position in the park. So like my bum hurts, and then you're sort of like leaning over, and then you're like, try and find a slope so that you can kind of naturally pose. And then sometimes someone talks behind you and then you're like backwards on a slope looking up with your legs in the air. I can't stand it. So I think we should either normalize bringing bean bags to the park and no one should make a comment on it, or just like little cushions or little potties. but I just would like to delete the concept of very straight grassland. I think that's what
great. It is. All right, Charlie, what would you delete?
I would like kind of to delete everything. It's been one of those weeks, but mainly Tori. So I posted on my story yesterday, like how I was like, there was a guy I actually liked a lot. Like we were talking and stuff and I was like, oh my God, he seems like really good. And then I found out he was a Tory and I was just like, no. And that's my thing is like, I'm just like, I post it because I'm like, so many people are very like anti-Tory online, but I feel like they'll let things slide if like, in the same way, like I feel like a lot of people have like homophobic boyfriends or racist, like family members or friends. It's like, it just like, it's like it's a universal thing. Like, it's just like, no, it doesn't matter who they are, like friend, family, fiance, like, no. So that's why I posted it.
I think so, like, Tory is a strong one.
Yeah, there we go. Bickies, like sitting down, and then Tories are like the majority of this country. I feel like yours are a bit more achievable, but yeah.
Literally.
That's very good.
Also, okay, so what we do each week is we look at our average screen time. Now, okay. I don't want you to feel bad about this. This is a safe space because when we first did it, mine was 9 hours and 45 minutes.
That's because of vitamin P.
It is because of it.
At least you have an excuse. I don't have an excuse. Mine is just from being on like Hinge, literally.
Okay.
Oh, praise the Lord. It says turn on screen time, so it doesn't tell me, right? There's a dab. You can put that in the promo. Oh my God, yay! I can promise mine would be like close to Gina's.
Would it?
Maybe not as close because I'm not a loser like Gina, but yeah.
So when we first did it, mine was 4 hours 45 and I was like, don't worry about it. Like, I'm just sort of on and off. Like, it's fine.
That's
and
low,
then,
yeah.
This week it's 7 hours. It's gone up by 56%. So what I'm saying is it's very easy to gloat, but then the next week, it just takes one lapse in judgment and then suddenly you've spent all of the waking day on your phone.
Mine is literally currently, I'm just going to tell you what today is because I'm just like absolutely stoked. Don't tell anyone on the podcast that it's 11:30 in the morning. So mine is 2 hours, 8 minutes. But my average is 5 hours and 28 minutes.
That's
so
great.
I've not really changed.
Oh you my have God. 9 hours down that's, to 5 hours.
Yeah,
that's
actually true.
Change.
That's a lot. Fuck, I'm good.
I love both of your Instagram and Twitter outputs, Charlie. I enjoy them a lot.
You.
From the other side, which do you prefer, Twitter or Instagram? And for why?
I literally don't even use Twitter. Like, I'll do, like, I'll come on and tweet about something and then not tweet about something for, like, 10 weeks. I hate it. I just think it's so toxic. Like, it's just, I don't know, especially with the nature of my work, like, the like for some reason I don't get any, or I get some, but not much, like, transphobic stuff from feminists on Instagram. I'll get from guys. But then on Twitter, like, if I dare posted something, it would be, like, inundated with just, like, crazy amounts, and they really jump out trans girls, and I'm like, I'm not here for that. Like, I'd rather, I'm tempted to delete it just because I don't want to, like, especially with, like, Black Lives Matter stuff. Like, I was really big on posting loads, like, I only posted about that during, like, the kind of peak of it. I was like, I'm not going to post about anything else. But on Twitter, I wasn't posting anything because I'm not on there. But then I was worried. I was like, what if someone's like, you've not posted a single thing, da da da, and I'm like, I'm gonna get judged by my lack of, not just about Black Lives Matter, but about everything, my lack of content on Twitter. I'm like, maybe I should just delete it. But at the same time, I'm worried that Instagram's going to, like, crash one day and I'm going to be, like, dependent on other kind of platforms.
It's hard.
Yeah, but
isn't
if
it?
That happened, they'd have to come up with something else, because, like you're just saying, Twitter, for me as, like, a writer and also, you know, like, a cis person, even I'm absolutely exhausted by the amount of transphobia that is on there, that leaks through when I'm just sort of, like, looking at something completely different. It's insane.
Yeah, and they have, like forums, like, waiting to pounce. Like, I've googled my name before, as you do, and I've seen that they've been, like, forums about me on, like, Mumsnet, where they, like, that's Mumsnet's like a hive of transphobia, and they're, like, talking about trying to dox me and stuff, and it's like, it's just mad. I'm like, I'd rather not, like, to be honest. Like, on Instagram, like, I've kind of cultivated a community and cultivated, like, my space, and I don't even, like, look on other, like, everything on my, like, feed is everything I'd want to see, whereas on Twitter you're, like, being shown things that you don't necessarily want to see, like, trending thing. I just I'm not here for that at all.
Also, you're known outside of social media for your work. It's not like you started on Instagram and that's all you do, is, like, branded content or whatever, which we'll actually get onto later, because that's one of my favorite things that you do. But you're known outside your work. You're respected outside your social accounts for your work. So I feel like even if you did delete Twitter and say Instagram got closed down, you'd be able to rebuild, because you've put stuff out into the world. You've got Now Transphobia, you've got your book, you've got stuff going on outside of it. Do you know what I mean?
Thank you, Gina. That's really sweet. That made me feel a bit better. Yeah, I've been thinking about deleting it for a while. You're very, very sweet.
I wanted to ask about, Charlie, your relationship with, like, brands and branded stuff on Instagram, because obviously you didn't start off that way. You started off doing all this amazing work and you got people took notice of you quite quickly. But I know how hyped you get. Basically your stories, and you get, like, gifts or, like, free shit, and you're like, you call yourself, like, Hoella and, like, all this. It's so funny. And how do you, like, obviously the commercial side of this work is fun and stuff. Do you enjoy it? Do you find it at odds of what you're doing? Or do you, like, because you take the piss out of it, and it makes people want to send you stuff more?
I don't know. I used to be really, like, wary of, like, I don't want to get called an influencer because that's going to discredit my activism. And you probably have the same thing where it's
exactly,
like, because they do, they'll chat. And I feel like it's a woman thing as well, because, like, it's kind of like, if you're pretty and, like, I'm not saying I'm pretty, but, like, I mean, like, doing, I guess this is what I'm trying to say, if doing feminine things, like, whether it's posting about fashion or makeup or, like, getting three cute things and da da da, it kind of, like, they'll use it to, like, kind of, like, detract from your and it's like, I don't know. So I've always, like, been really, like, wary of calling, definitely not calling myself an influencer, about being seen as one. That's why I like never ever did YouTube, even though everyone's, like, always like, do YouTube. I'm like, I don't want to get called, like, YouTuber Charlie Craggs. I'm like an activist Charlie Craggs, and I don't want to, like, kind of take away. But then at the same time, bitch, like, if it wasn't for social media content, I would have literally starved to death and been homeless during lockdown, during Corona. So, like, I will never snub my nose at doing influencer work or being called an influencer ever again. At the same time, I mean, I don't want it to detract again from my activism, but I don't think it does. Like, I've got to the point where I'm like, if Richard Branson, again, it's a man thing, but, like, if Richard Branson had, like, a YouTube channel, it wouldn't be like YouTuber Richard Branson. It'd be like, no, he uses YouTube as a platform for his job. Like, in the same way we use Instagram as a platform to grow our platform, to have a voice. Do you know what I'm saying? So, like,
I think there's definitely misogyny in there. There's definitely a bit of, like, if you're a guy with, like, loads of followers and you're, like, getting sent loads of, like, shoes and trainers every day, you're a collector. But then if you're, like, getting loads of shoes as, like, an influencer, it's like, oh gosh, she's got an addiction to shoes. Like, there's definitely, like, a weird lens on that with women.
They just love to call you, like, a like a social media activist, and it's like, no, bitch, I'm an activist, period. And the same with you. Like, it's like, I didn't start my, like, not that there's anything wrong with, I think social media activism is so important in this age, but like, they use that to discredit, and it's often aimed at women, you know, like, they'll talk about Insta models, but they never talk about it as like girl, as boys. It's always like shaming girls who are like Insta models, like, oh, you're not a real model, you're an Instagram model. And it's like, yeah. I don't know, it's very that, isn't it?
It is, and it's, they can definitely coexist together. But it, I mean, me and Stevie had a massive argument about this, right?
On Christmas Day, when Gina was looking to sign to her agency, my parents were like, "What sort of aid? Like, what is the agency? What sort?" And I said, "Oh, well, they're great for Gina because they do a lot of they work with a lot of influencers and they kind of understand what that is." And then Gina was like, "But I'm not an influencer," and I was like, "Are you not?" And then, in a way, though, because you're influencing people, and then obviously now I understand.
It was like, it wasn't the fact that I was called an influencer that was the problem. It was the fact that that was the thing that always came first before the work. And then me and Stevie had this really passionate conversation where she was, and Stevie's a comedian, and in her show, she did a whole show about social media, and there was all these bits about influencers in it. But it was like all the same shit that I would say and that you would say, Charlie. Yeah. But I thought it was aimed at me. So we kind of like unpicked it all while crying at the table.
Yeah. And it made me realize that
they can exist together.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shall we go on to your first post and your out of your three? I went back through your Instagram. It was so funny. We were pissing ourselves laughing.
Saturday's one.
Yeah.
Super naughty is the best word.
Do a little explainer of what it is for the listeners.
I was at the Saturday's concert. I feel like people will find that funny. There will always be a little gay boy in me.
Oh,
as much as I transition, there will always be this little feminine boy. It's personal sign male at birth for me, who just stands like Britney, Lady Gaga, the Saturdays, like the cheeky girl. Like literally any female like pop singer.
The cheeky girls.
I mean, like, so I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's LGBT. It's our culture. I can't help it. Sue me. Anyway, I just love the Saturdays, and everyone's like, love, because I was at like a concert, just like 7-year-old girls, and then I forced my friends to come with me, and I was just like, I was living my best life. And then that's just I've always loved that line in the song. Actually, I'm gonna start I have a radio show coming out for Soho Radio called Super Naughty. I'm gonna do like super like naughty hits and stuff, and talk about like things from the noughties. But like, so Rochelle, like, basically a line in the song is, we make the party super naughty. I just find it so funny. It's so funny with an English accent as well. We make the party super naughty. Like, it's so good.
And the best part about that post is that, so it starts off with the actual music video, and it's like so like, it's like short, and they're all dancing, and they've all got like the matching outfits on, and then it just cuts to you at the concert, and it's just like this bouncing like 4-bit video of the stage, and just your voice behind it be like, Supernaughty!
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
It's incredible. You can also, just to listeners, you can check out all of the posts we talk about of Charlie's social on the Might Delete Later Instagram page, Might Delete Pod.
I was going to ask about how, so obviously, you know, you do a lot of activism online, but you balance it out with just sort of pure, essentially pure comedy. And when you're doing that, are you aware sometimes of like, oh, I've posted a lot of like, you know, quite heavy stuff. Now I'm going to maybe lighten the feed, or is it just kind of quite organic? How do you pick what sort of angle you're going to go for that day?
Do you know what? It is quite thought out. I'm sure Gina understands. Like, you don't want to, because I feel like people will unfollow you if you're just being a negative Nancy, even though you have every right to be negative and there's so much to be angry about. But if you're constantly posting like things that are just like, people might find it toxic for themselves. Like, you know, I was talking about, I don't want certain things on my feed. It's going to trigger me. It's going to make me feel upset. People might feel the same. So I try to kind of like entice them into the activism by doing kind of like just being myself and just like being real and being fun. And like, it just, it keeps people kind of like engaged in your content. If you're like kind of not just being like a new, because you don't just want to become a news channel. Like, that's not what we're for. We're people, and we're like, we're multifaceted, and we do have fun as well. And I think it just, like I said, if it was just like a news channel of like depressing things, like to do with activism, like things lose their effects. And I think if you were to like drop a really important campaign, like Gina's recent one about like Instagram and like fat black bodies and stuff, like things like that, if you were to like drop something big like that after like not like, I don't know, just I guess desensitization, like you'd be desensitized if every single post was like crazy, like important and deep like that, people wouldn't get behind them because they'd be too busy signing, like they'd be like, I can't sign a petition.
And you overwhelm people, I think, a bit, don't you?
Yeah,
we all get overwhelmed. But I think it's really important what you said about as not being a news channel, because I think it's very easy for your followers to treat you as an editorial platform. Can you repost this? I want you to post this. I want you to post this information. And it's like, there has to also be space for joy. There has to also be space for your joy and you as a person, because otherwise you do just become BBC Online or Dazed. Or
Also, it would affect you as well. Surely it would affect you if you're constantly posting like things that, you know, you obviously care about. So, but it must be a nice break sometimes to be like, and now I'm going to dance.
Literally to Victoria Beckham, honestly, like it really is that, like my friend said that, that's why so my friend does the radio show on Soho Radio, and my friend was like, you need to do something, because when they were saying like, what do you want to do your show on, I was like, obviously going straight to like trans activism stuff, and they were like, why don't you do something that makes you happy, because you're always working on things that are like making you're sad already, like you're already a sad person and then you're doing more sad things, no wonder you're always sad, like do something that brings you joy. And that's where the super naughty idea came from. So like, but it is so true. And what Gina said as well, what you said about like being held to like the account of a news channel, and I've even seen, it's never happened to me, thank God, because I'd cuss them out if it did, but like you're always being like, not always, but like, I've seen you post things where it's like people be like like complaining about something you've posted. It's like, okay sweetheart, like I'm not like a new, like you'll have biases, and you're not like, also like you're a you do fun things, like you have your own opinions on what's okay. Like it just annoys me that like people like who are activists are expected to post like really kind of like stale kind of like just be on top of everything, like you can't, I don't know, it's just so many like,
it's inhuman,
like
isn't it?
I can't believe the some of the messages you get, and I'm just like, I would not deal with that at all, I'm sorry. Like, so that's again like a big part of why I kind of inject the fun, because I want to remind people I'm just a person, I'm just having fun, like this is Instagram, it's not that deep, you know what I mean? Like you can make
you
it
can
deep
care
but
about
like
stuff. And laugh as well. Like, you don't have to never laugh ever because
totally,
that'd be really bad for you.
Should we go into a post that you regret? Because I was quite surprised when you sent this over, because from my perspective, I was like, that's a pretty good post.
So the post that I most regret was, and it's like, it's weird because like I don't regret it, I just regret like, because I get so sad when I see stuff from like early in my transition on like on the internet. I'm like, fuck, like, but my future husband is going to Google me one day when he's like taking me for a date and going to see these horrible videos of my like old face and my like deep voice and like,
and if they have a problem with that, they shouldn't be your future husband.
That's true. That's so true, Gina. But see, I started doing media stuff maybe like 2015. And I went on BBC Radio 5. And I know that's where you do your show now, Gina, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was on BBC Radio 5 Live. Talking about, because like there's been, it's the same conversation that's still going now, and it's just like, why is this still happening? That's why my documentary is answering that question. But like all these false narratives around like trans kids transitioning, like da 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 da, like the headline that weekend, like that's why they got me on, was 50 kids a week being sent to sex change clinics, and had a picture of a little child boy with his head in his hands.
Oh,
and I was like, how is this allowed? Because like you can't even have surgery till you're 18, like, so basically this is what I'm saying in the podcast. I was like, you basically, it's such a disgusting lie to make out that like toddlers are being sent to have sex changes, and it's like,
oh my God,
girl, like really, like I've been waiting for 6 years, where's my sex change? So basically that's what I was on to talk about, and I'm really proud of the way I spoke. Actually, I feel like that's kind of my style of speaking, and just being very real, because like, especially with like an audience like that, but just with all audiences, I try and be like accessible in the way that I don't use, like a lot of activists use like really big words and speak in a way that people can't understand, especially the people who need to understand most. So I'm a council estate girl. So like when I'm speaking, I'm keeping in mind that I'm trying to help or speak to the people like that. Or when I'm doing nails, like it's often with like other working class people or whatever. And it's just like, it's really important for me to speak in a way that's real and also engaging and fun, not like a stale, boring, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, so I just try and, yeah. So I said, I can't remember what I said, but I said something like...
You said, they're not just handing out vaginas.
Yeah, they're not just handing out vaginas on the street. I said something like that. So, and it's the truth. I just, yeah, I'm proud of that. But like at the same time, and I'm proud of doing that so like early on and young. And like, do you know what I mean? Like I can easily do stuff like that now, but that was such a big thing for me going on that show. And like, just, I got so much shit for that on Twitter, actually, like so much shit you wouldn't even believe. But like, yeah, I don't know. I just like get, when I look at old, I'm just like, it's really hard as a trans person, like kind of like choosing when to like archive, like from what point do you archive? Because like,
right.
It's so like, I had Instagram before I transitioned, you know what I mean? Like, or around the time that I transitioned. So like, when do you like, how much do you show the world? Like all these like things like that. I'm just like, ugh, I don't want people. And it's like weird because like, I don't mind my followers seeing it. Most of my followers are girls. I think it's like a 75-25 split or something. So it's mostly girls. And I'd say most of the boys are gay. So like, I've come to a real sense of peace on Instagram where like, it's so liberating that I just don't like, I used to always wear makeup to do stories and I'd speak in a much more like soft voice. And now I'm like, fuck it. And my like engagement is so much better. I'm not even doing it for the engagement, but my point is I'm having more fun. People are having more fun watching it because I'm not trying to be perfect and be like the ideal of like femininity, like that's put on the pressure that's put on a trans woman to be like this kind of like, oh my God, you're so unclockable and da da da. Like there's just so much pressure. I'm like, fuck that. Like I'm going to come on in my fucking like big swollen. I've got a cheek infection at the moment. I'm going to like have acne. I'm going to like have, my hair's going to be a mess. And it's so like, it's so much better. And I feel sorry for the girls who are still in like the cage of feeling like they have to be like so perfect and pretty and like set, like even kind of sexual online, like where they're just like having to like perform they like and like restrict themselves from just like, imagine like you want to say something and you've got to put on a 45-minute face
God,
before you do.
Not.
I used to do that. I used to refilm my like stories like 10 times so that I got like a more feminine voice. I'd like get it to the point where I'm like, oh, my voice sounds nice now. And it was because of like worrying about like boys that I like seeing it from dating apps or like whatever. And I'm like, now I'm like, fuck it. And it's literally the most liberating thing in the whole world. Like, so yeah.
That's so good. Hopefully you can get to a point as well where you can like look back at other stuff and feel more at peace with the fact that, look, this has just been your experience in your life, and don't be worried about people seeing it, because
yeah,
I don't think anyone would look back at that and not just be, because you just watch that and you're just listening to what you're saying because you're making very, very strong points. So it's just, you know what I mean, it's more the context of it. But of course that's something like we all have in common. I feel the same too, you know. I think a lot of us perform our femininity, I think a lot of us perform online, and all of us are at different stages trying to get past that, no matter who you are. And that's something, that's a challenge online. Should we bob on to the post that you're most proud of? Can you tell us about this post?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't want to cry. I'm like such a fucking mess. I'll probably end up crying. But basically, so around the general election, the most recent one, I posted about like, because I talked about it sometimes, but I don't really talk about my friend. So my best friend was killed in Grenfell and I don't talk, and her mum, who was like a second mum to me. And I don't talk about it much because I don't feel, I don't know how to say, like a lot of people don't respect your grief and like you don't owe your grief to anyone. Like, so like sometimes it's better to be kind of private. So like I never really spoke about it. And then when it came to the general election night, and the expected kind of outcome of the votes, and I was like, oh God, if the Tories win again, like obviously, like I hate the Tories. Obviously, like I'm a working class person, grew up working class on a council estate in one of the top five fucking poorest parts of the UK, where Grenfell is. Like that's a really poor part. So we hate the Tories, period. Mm-hmm. And I'm so angry about the whole Grenfell situation because of the Tories, because they were the people who covered it in cladding to make it more pretty for the posh people, because we live in, it was like a posh borough, but just a poor part of that posh borough. So like they were the people who put the cladding on. They were the people who cut the services, like the fire services. And the fire services were so late getting to it, and then didn't have there was not enough of them and stuff. And just like the fact that, I don't know, even the fact that the Prime Minister, like the Queen stopped by, the Prime Minister didn't even stop by. It's like, I don't want to cry, it's making me so upset, but it just makes me so angry. I want people to like understand like how important it is, because it's kind of forgotten now. But the reason I'm proud of that post is because I like basically posted and just like ripped everything about like how this is all like down to the Tories. This is not just like a tragedy that just happened. It's because of austerity that it happened. And like even the way like like Rees-Mogg like basically called everyone who died in it stupid, and like just like so many, just like the way that they've blocked the bill now about how to take on the recommendations of taking the toxic cladding off buildings, and like Just things like that. And the fact that they released the report the day before Brexit so that they knew people would only talk about it for 24 hours and then stop caring. Like, it's just so disgusting. It's a Tory problem. It's not an opinion. It's literally the Tories
From the Tories.
It just makes me feel sick. So I was like, that was the first time I actually cried on Instagram. I went on stories and I was just talking, like, really trying to encourage everyone to vote, because we know that so many people don't vote, and it's because they just feel like powerless, and like their vote doesn't matter, and like there's no point. And like when you look at the results, like it does feel like that way, because they won by a landslide. But at the same time, I just wanted to encourage people to vote by just being really raw and just like showing my grief for one of the first times. And I was just like, and it's my most like liked and engaged with post, and it did really well, and like Labour shared it, and I like, got a lot of attention. I had so many people message me, a lot of like people saying like, hey, like they don't even follow me, just like they would message me, and people that like quite different to me, like I had quite a lot of straight boys even like be like, hey, I saw your post and I just want to say you're the reason I like voted. I'm gonna cry again, but like it was so nice. It just was so nice, and they lost, obviously. That's great. Like, but the point is like it's my most proudest one, because I felt like I was I did it for my best friend. I did it, obviously, for everyone, but like I felt like I was honoring her. Like it's really nice.
Oh, Charlie, I think it's so, me and Steve were talking about this before when we were looking at your posts, and like posting about your grief online is such a raw and like hard thing to do, and especially
when it's political, like you're saying.
Like when even with your upskirting, so I can, I just imagine like how many times I've seen videos of you even like when you're crying talking about it, because it's just that. So I know you get it. It's really scary sharing your grief, because it sounds stupid. Like, you're not looking for likes or shares or follows. You're just looking for people to hear you. If you're going to say it, you want it to be heard. And I can't imagine. I feel so grateful. And I haven't even got a massive following, but for the fact that I even have a slight following, because I can't imagine feeling the feelings I feel around Grenfell, around the transphobia kind of going on right now, and not being heard. Like, if I only had like a few, maybe 200 followers, and just shouting into a void of like, that's my worst nightmare. So I just feel so blessed. But like, I did get so much, I got abuse on it as well. Like, I haven't actually chased up. I meant to chase up at the time, because my followers found where she worked. Like, I had a few people like message me and be like, oh, boo hoo, like just sending really mean things, like, after I was like crying. Yeah, like I like posted about it at the time. Like, people are just so mean. Like, people like, and they were like, they're not like bots or trolls, they were like real people, because like people, my followers, like I posted all the people who had sent me mean stuff, and it was a lot of women as well, like a lot of young women.
Something you do a lot, like you hold people to account who's
absolutely, I mean, that's, you're really not gonna good, miss
because a lot of people are too scared to do that.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not, I've been a victim enough of my life. I refuse, I would rather die. I refuse to be a victim ever again. I'm never ever, I will always get my own back. Fucking hell, that's like a counselling session. Jesus Christ.
No, but it was brilliant and really interesting. And I want to thank you so much for coming on, and also for talking about things that are very difficult to talk about. It's very easy to not, it would have been very easy to have just picked another post, you know?
Yeah.
But you chose to kind of go in hard. And
always.
And I think, yeah, I mean, you can't fail to be moved by it, really. So, yeah, you're very, very brave.
Thank you.
Very brave.
No, also, just thanks for being always literally you on social.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing else I can be, babe. I'm not intelligent enough to be anything else but me. I'm not that calculated.
Well, we love you. And thank you for coming on Might Delete Later.
I love you both so much. Thank you for having me, girls.
Please do follow Charlie on Twitter @Charlie_Crags. If she still has Twitter, I hope she does delete it. And Instagram, which I hope she doesn't delete because she's great and she's having a nice time on it, @Charlie_Crags. And also, if you want more content from Charlie, she has a Patreon. This is patreon.com/CharlieCrags, where she does like podcasts, extra stuff. She also offers like mentoring as well. So if you have any further questions for her, or you think you would benefit from that, then absolutely sign up.
Yeah, go ahead and look at the pictures on each different tier, because she photoshops her face into more weird expressions the higher you pay money. So it's quite good. You can also follow us @MightDeleteLaterPod on Instagram and @MightDelete Pod on Twitter. You can also email us any guests you'd like to see on the podcast. Stevie, have you checked the inbox?
Absolutely not.
Great. Anna, look, give us an amazing review, not any bad ones, please. And also you can subscribe to help people find us.
And what should we remember, Gina?
Well, Stephen, we should remember that social media can be a brilliant place for activism, for honesty, for creativity, and for joy.
But it can also be a place that brings you down, makes you feel sad, and can be a bit overwhelming at times.
But however you feel about it, if it makes you feel a bit overwhelmed or rubbish, then just, you know, you might as well delete later. All right, bye!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.